This is now the fifth lecture that we've done in this series, and of course there'll be more to come. And the last lecture I gave here, we began to develop our understanding of apostles and the apostolic reformation of the church, why this is important, where it sits in history, something about the nature of the background of that, just with the beginnings of understanding apostles. But tonight, I want to do a lecture which I've entitled Apostles by Grace. And we have no less than eight major points to make. And scriptures, whenever I refer to a scripture, it'll be on the screen. But many of these I'll read to you as we go. And so the subject of what an apostle is and the grace that is given and how this can be possible, how it is that God works through them, but what they're like or meant to be like, the real nature of an apostle, the real grace of the Lord Jesus that is in them, the way in which they are meant to function, the way in which they're meant to be a gift to the church. It's not just any kind of leadership. All of this is a huge subject. And if you had several lectures, you could not properly lecture that subject. To be understood, it really has to be written in books, because a book can go sequentially and very thoughtfully and work through a lot of issues and build the whole thing in a way in which you can't do in just a few lectures. What this lecture will do is give you insight into a few very important things to which you must add both the reading of some literature. Obviously, I've written a book, The Apostolic Revelation, and there are several chapters in particular, notably chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 of that book that ought to be read thoughtfully in conjunction with this lecture. And the notes that accompany this lecture will refer to the book, and assessments will draw on things that are taught in the book as well as in the lecture and other ancillary material that is being supplied along with this. Of all the things we teach in the course, this way may well be the subject which is the largest. And if we spend time on it, one could do a whole semester just on this one thing. We don't have that luxury in the kind of course we're developing. But what we can do is, along with the lecture, refer students to various material that can be read and thought through and other things that can be listened to try and give a more composite understanding of what really is a beautiful thing. But you've got to get it right. That is, the church has to get it right. You know, the Apostle John, speaking the words of Jesus, recording the words of Jesus, wrote to the Ephesian church. This is in Revelation chapter 2. And one of the things that Jesus had to say to that church was a commendation that they had tested those who claimed to be apostles, but we're not. This is therefore a very important grace to really sort out, to discern what is and who is an apostle. It's very important for the sake of the church that this has got right. Now, our next lecture, the one following after this, we will look at the subject of false apostles, counterfeit apostles. The church must have that information too, and we must be very aware of it. But tonight, we're going to look at the very extensive and positive side of the subject. So here are the things that need to be said by way of this lecture anyway. First of all, a basic and primary principle, and it is this, that when God builds his household, in the building of this building, which is called the eternal temple of God, it's also called the New Jerusalem, it's the holy city. It is an eternal city. It's the city to which the scripture refers when it said there's a city built without hands, whose architect and maker is God. This is the city that Abraham looked for, and so on and so forth. We're talking about you and I being built together as living stones to be an eternal temple in which God lives by his Spirit. We are told, however, that of this building, Christ is the chief cornerstone, but the foundation or the foundations of this building are apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. I'll read the scripture to you. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. You'll see it on the screen. This is where Paul wrote, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household built on." So this is the household of faith, the household of God, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the holy temple. Many different ways scripture refers to this. And verse 20 says, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." Now, for many years, in all my early years of teaching about apostles, the restoration of apostles for today, I did not use this passage. I didn't need to use this passage to prove from the scriptures that we could have apostles today. I did not need this passage to prove from the scriptures the nature of apostles, what they were called to do, the authority they had, how they'd lead the church. The New Testament has a huge amount of extensive information. I left this particular passage to one side for one reason. Each individual passage, you have to decide whether it speaks to your subject or to a different subject. So just because it was referring to apostles and prophets and the building of the church did not necessarily mean it was speaking about apostles and prophets today. It might have been speaking about the formative, the former, the original apostles and prophets. And so until I had some way of deciding what that was, I wasn't prepared to use the passage. I wasn't just prepared to make something great of it when I wasn't absolutely sure that it fit. But with the passage of time, some considerable years, having already taught the subject extensively, there was a night when the Lord took some time, I was in the Holy Spirit, to show me clearly in Scripture all the evidences that this passage applied to today as well as to then. Because if you read that apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church, are you going to decide that that's the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the Lamb, the ones that had already lived and started things off, those of the Old Testament who brought the Word of God, those of the New that were entrusted with the gospel at the time of Jesus, and that's the foundation, and ever since we're just building on that foundation? Or are you going to decide that, oh, in every age of the church, there continue to be apostles and prophets, and so this foundation is a living thing, just as there continue to be added in more believers? And I had to decide that. But in the end, what the Lord showed me was the very strong, repetitive use of personal pronouns that included all believers, and these were very living things with respect to how we functioned, how we built together, and what these ministries were meant to do for us. The truth is, when you compare this then with other passages in the New Testament that talk about the place of apostles and prophets in the church, you realize all parts of the body must serve concurrently, that is, at the same time. I don't have time now to explain all of that, but my book does. In chapter 2 of the Apostolic Revelation, you will find from pages 42-44 a section on this subject. But eventually I came to grips with the belief, the recognition that this scripture applied to the church today. That is, apostles and prophets continue to be, in a living sense, a very foundational ministry with respect to how the church is being built together. Now, one application of that is this. Ask yourself, what was it that made Christ the chief cornerstone? He said, unless a seed of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. For Christ to become the chief cornerstone, he had to sow his life. Now, in his case, it meant in death, a sacrificial death, because he was to become our chief high priest. in like manner, for apostles and prophets to be the foundation of the church, they must live a sacrificial life. In other words, they sow their lives. This doesn't necessarily mean dying in a physical sense, but it means they sow their lives into the earth for the sake of the church. And they give up all else that the church might become, for Christ, what it is meant to become. And so this is not a matter of, oh well, that, you know, they must preach well, heal the sick, do those kinds of things. No, we're talking about the laying down of their lives for the sake of believers. These are the real foundations of the church. The most senior leadership of the church, the most authoritative leadership, are those who take the lowest place as the servants of all. We move on to our second subject. That one, the first, you'll have to think about more and have to read the book. But it is important that we understand this very foundational ministry of the church and has a hugely important role with respect to the way the church is built, if it is to be built properly.